Hello, and welcome to Open House here at Community Media. I am Frank Kozak, and I'm your host today. I have the privilege and pleasure of having three members from the Gettysburg Nature Alliance with me today to talk about their organization and how they're making a difference in the community. I have Carrie Gregory, the board president. Kristen Mooney is a director and manager, and Stephanie Leitner is the executive director. For starters, just give me a little bit of information about your backgrounds.
Okay, so I was born and raised in Gettysburg. Went to school, went to Shippensburg. I have a degree in history. I've actually been in the building at the Heritage Center on Steinway Avenue, which is now the Gettysburg Nature Alliance, since I was 15. So born and raised here and been spending a lot of time there.
And you mentioned you're really interested in Civil War history. Makes sense.
Yes. So okay. Yes, exactly.
Great. And Kristen?
I am not from Adams County. I was born and raised in Western Pennsylvania. I've spent most of my career in the nonprofit sector, mm-hmm. and I have been with the Nature Alliance since 2022.
Okay. And I grew up on the East Coast and have traveled kind of throughout the country and the world. Did my undergrad in Ohio, postgrad in Pennsylvania. We relocated here about almost 20 years ago now. We fell in love with the area. Actually, I did when I was back in college, and we've been coming ever since and settled here about 20 years ago to raise our kids. So we're happy to be here and love the environment.
And here's my question for you. You went to Penn State and Ohio State. Who do you root for?
Yes.
Okay.
It depends. Both when they're not playing each other and when they're playing each other. I figure I spent more money at Ohio State, so I have to root for them, and whoever wins is okay, though. So.
Okay. Similar, but I had a daughter go to Ohio State and a daughter go to Penn State, so the answer is yes when asked.
Yes, exactly.
Who you're rooting for.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. So, Kristen, so tell us about your organization a bit.
The Nature Alliance, we are based in Adams County. We are a very small nonprofit we started in 2019. Our mission is to preserve, educate, and rehabilitate the natural resources and surrounding areas of Gettysburg.
All right. And how do you accomplish that?
So what we do is we protect and we restore our local natural resources. Mm-hmm. We have many projects going on at different times, whether it be through the Gettysburg Heritage Center or whether it be out at the barn by Sachs Bridge. We have different programs, different partners, things of that nature.
Okay. All right. Sachs Bridge, I'm not from this area. What is it about Sachs Bridge that I know is important in the community?
Well, Sachs Bridge, historically, relating to the battle, was part of the retreat with Lee's troops when they were leaving. Beyond that, there's a lot of talk of different. There's a paranormal draw to it. People go out there for ghost hunting. There's just a nice draw that it's been there. The bridge has been there. It was now had to be resituated after we had flooding back in the 90s. But I think if people just like it because it's a pristine location, it's a historic location, the water's there, you can fish there. It's just, you know, historically and naturally appealing to people.
Okay, interesting. All right. So then, Carrie, how do you get your hands around the heritage and the habitat in an area that is so full of both?
So philosophically, our mindset is rooted in history, committed to nature. And we don't think that you can preserve our heritage without preserving our habitat. And if you look, if you're a student of the Civil War, you recognize how important the landscape was in what happened and how a battle flowed and what actually happened. So consequently, there's a very strong tie-in. To your question about Sachs Bridge, it's really very iconic in the sense that it has stood the test of time. It's been around for decades, if not well over 150, I think even close to 200
like
years maybe.
So
it's very iconic to the landscape. but it's also such a draw. It's such a beautiful area right along Marsh Creek. That's where we've actually preserved 20 acres out there and built our learning barn. And we're right on the bank of Marsh Creek and literally right next to the Sachs Bridge. So it's a very important area for us.
Yep. And the barn's got to be a misnomer. I know that's what you call it, but it's a nice facility, modern facility. Anything almost maybe not unique, but certainly special in the area. And you have all that land around it.
It's really a beautiful environment. The sunsets are unbelievable out there. We are doing more and more activities. The barn is actually available for rental, so we're starting to get some traction there for weddings and birthdays and corporate meetings. It's a case where we have blended an environment that's functional in the barn. So on any given day, we might be doing yoga out there, but it's flanked by a chestnut grove that we planted. It's flanked by 12 acres that we've preserved with Pheasants Forever. That's an important project of bringing back natural grasslands and so on. So it's an important space for us, and it's still in its early stages.
I understand you plan on putting a trail in there?
Yeah, actually, the grand picture, and we have our vision board, if you will, to connect. If you're familiar with the area, the Eisenhower Farm, so we basically, not that anybody can see that, but there is a plan where we butt up to the Eisenhower Farm, Marsh Creek, our area as well, and our goal is to put in a walking and meditative, a meditation path, but to really kind of tie into all the Adams County heritage. The Chestnut Foundation is somebody that we work closely with, and reason being, a lot of people don't know that the American chestnut was really paramount to our early days as a country. And due to blight and disease, it was wiped out.
Yes.
And so we are doing our part to try and revive the American chestnut.
Okay. Well, if I may, and Kristen, you know this, as part of Adams County Trout Unlimited, we put in a 900-yard trail up on Ziegler Mill Road for the community. So if we can lend a hand at all to what we did. I think your challenge is a little bit more significant than you're dealing with the National Park Service. It's got to be a bit bureaucratic, but I'm sure you'll get there.
Really good folks, and the opportunity, because of the Eisenhower Farm, because of our property, because of the Park Service, to your point, there's a lot of moving parts, but careful what you wish for, because we will call you.
That'd be fine. And I'd be glad to tour our trail with you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So. And, you know, Frank, that actually is a key point for us with regard to working together. We're a big believer in all ships float in a rising tide. And we really strive to coordinate and do things together, whether it be we recently did an event out at the museum inviting some other nonprofits that were in the giving spree to kind of get awareness. Some of the smaller folks that maybe not, you know, don't have the exposure. Similarly, all of the educational programs that we host, Night at the Museum, we've got Reenactor Appreciation Weekend coming up in March, so we'll have both a recruitment event and a educational event taking place as well.
So you mentioned educational activities. What are some of those that the community should know about?
Yeah, I tell you, there's a lot. So we're all about education, and that really stems from our history as a museum. We're all about living history. We just had this weekend, for example, a reenactor workshop for women, for folks that are interested in getting involved but don't really know where to start. I mentioned that we've got our reenactor appreciation and reenactor recruitment coming up in March. That's the middle of March, the 14th, I believe. We work with the licensed battlefield guides, so we create a hub environment for the guides so that if you want to go on a tour with a guide, you can come to the museum and connect with a guide. So it's a win-win where the guides have a place to kind of connect with people, and it's easy for people to go tour the museum and then connect with a guide. we probably, I don't know that we've ever sat and counted, but we probably have some major event going on, if not once a month, maybe twice a month, anywhere from book fairs to author signings. It's a pretty extensive program. Best thing to do is follow us on social media. Facebook is ideal, either the Gettysburg Nature Alliance or Gettysburg Heritage Center.
Okay, so you're reaching out to adults and children.
Absolutely.
Just number-wise, how many children have you had the opportunity to enlighten about what you're about in the history of the area?
History, we deal with several hundred over the course of the summer, school groups who come to the Heritage Center. Particularly, I am particularly proud of the last stream clean that we held. We had large groups of children who came out, Girl Scout groups. I think as a community-based volunteer event, I was very pleased with the number of children who came out, their parents who brought them out, teenagers who came out. But overall, we have seen increased numbers of young people coming out to help us.
As you get the word out more and more about what your endeavors
are? We do, okay. Yeah.
I think that the experience for the Girl Scouts, especially this group in particular, it was quite an eye-opener. I don't think they expected to find the trash that they were finding, or they were really taken aback. And again, it's the kind of the age. It's, you know, they're younger. They're not really familiar with the amount of graffiti and things like that that are taking place out at the barn.
It's wonderful for them to build that kind of awareness through your efforts with them.
Yes. Yeah.
And hopefully it'll carry on as they get older. Mm-hmm. So how many volunteers do you have that pitch in with your endeavors? Or is it you three kind of towing the rope?
Initially, when we started the stream clean a couple years ago, it was just the staff and maybe a handful of people who would come out. And then maybe the next time it was the staff and a handful of members who would come out. It has increased exponentially over the course of the years. I can't give you an exact number. But again, the last time that we held it, last October, and we do have one coming up on April 25th, if anybody would like to join us. We had 20, maybe 30 people who came out.
You mentioned social media is a key aspect or platform for you. What's in your plans, your strategy that you implement to have had some success with growing your organization in, I'll say, maybe a relatively short time?
Yeah, it's interesting. We live in a very complicated world. We all know that. There's a lot of distraction, a lot of noise. Part of what's important from our standpoint with the activities, we're very much hands-on. Right? Everything we've really talked about is getting your hands dirty. And whether it's going through the museum, the exhibits in the museum, go and experience what it was like to be in a basement during the battle. And it's very engaging and real world. We have one of the original sycamore trees hollowed out that the kids can crawl through. So there's a lot of interactivity in the museum, but then also out at the Learning Barn, whether we're doing yoga, whether we're doing the stream clean, it's all very tangible. We live in a world of technology, we live in a world of social media, so consequently we have to embrace that because that's how we have to get our word out. Doing things like this that we so appreciate today, getting our message out. I think because of some of the uniqueness of what we are doing and the tactile aspect, I think that's where we're starting to get that traction. It was really, I like to kind of sit back and listen, and Steph and Kristen are engaging with folks, and it's fascinating to see the kids with the parents coming in and having this dialogue about, wow, I had no idea this was here. Oh, wow, this is really interesting. Wow, this is really fun. And to the point, it's a shame what we pull out of Marsh Creek when we do the stream cleans because it's mind-boggling. If you can think it, we have found it. From tires to plungers to TVs to all kinds of interesting things. So raising that level of awareness, we hope at some point we don't have to do the stream clean, right? Mm-hmm. We hope that we get to a point where there's nothing to clean someday.
Great goal. and it'll diminish over time. You've had the big pull, I'll call it, and got a lot of things out of there. Yep. Done some of that Mulberry-Cador State Park that I'm involved with. First year we did it, on one stretch of road, we put 36 bags of trash and two trailer or pickup truck beds full of tires. And good news is it's diminished over time. So
that's awesome.
Now you mentioned the museum a few times, and I feel kind of embarrassed that I have to say this. I don't know about your museum. What can you tell us about it?
So the museum, we talk about the town and the civilians, what life was like for them before, during, and after the battle. In our museum, we use different types of ways to tell the story. So we have some 3D programming. We have interactive displays, like Carrie touched upon, our cellar experience, where the kids actually go into the basement. They see people, running outside, and they hear things, kind of recreating what it was like for the folks who stayed in town, who had no idea what was happening. For them to understand that there were no radios, there were no cell phones, there was nothing like that. They had no idea what they were going to find when they came out of their basement. It's a really neat experience. But we incorporate also the habitat. So like he also mentioned, the sycamore tree. We have a tree that they can crawl through. It actually stood on Baltimore Street there at Twin Sycamores. It was donated to us when we were going through our renovations in 2013. We have trees that are on the wall that you can see there's bullets wedged in them. So kids can actually count the rings so you can see where it was in 1863, and you can see the bullet wedged and how far it grew around it afterwards. So again, it's employing the history side of Gettysburg, but also pulling in that natural side of Gettysburg to try to help tell that story.
So what age group of children are coming in or appropriate for what you have to present?
It varies. Honestly, the way we present our museum, it's great for all age groups, from children who are, toddlers, they can still look at things and watch the videos. They're not going to walk away with any understanding of what they're seeing. Mm-hmm. But, up to, we always say, to 101, you're going to see something different. You're going to see something new. But the core focus is that, fifth grade to 11th grade, that's when they're studying it in school. That's when they're learning about it. And that's really kind of where we're at.
And actually, maybe to build on that, one of the things we try to do is collaborate with other community entities. So we have different exhibits on loan. For example, we just added something from the American World War II Museum, where we now have a display from them, which is a unique and different kind of discussion within our space, but also helps give them some exposure to let people know that there's something else to go check out.
Okay. So you partner with, so to speak, local organizations, and as well as those that are not local, far reaching.
Yeah.
What are some of the key local organizations that you consider your partners?
Well, boy, everybody. We're members of Destination. We're members of the Chamber. So we have the organizational side of things. But we also partner. We have an exhibit on loan from the World War II Museum. We have an exhibit on loan from Union Drummer Boy. We have we do some work with the Doughboy Foundation, which is a World War I era entity. Help me, guys, because there's a long list, and I get nervous about these questions because I hate leaving anybody out.
Monterey Pass
is a great example. Mm-hmm. It goes back to the philosophy that what's good for one of us is good for all of us, that if there is a common thread, we would love to work with you. And that's very much whether it's some of the Civil War groups, which we work extensively with, the Confederation of Union Generals, for example. They come out for a lot of our events. We've got something big planned for Memorial Day this year with a World War II group. So it's a pretty far-reaching. We don't often say no.
Well, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, when you talk about some other organizations here locally, Strawberry Hill, we work with the Farmers Market. Actually, they're using office space in our building. We work with the Land Conservancy. We've partnered with, the Watershed. They've come out when we've done our programs like our Go Fish Gettysburg, which is an outdoor sort of education. Let's talk about invasive species. Let's talk about fishing. Let's talk about water safety and things like that. And all of those within the Adams County community have stepped up and partnered with us to help provide those type of events.
So I'm sitting here, I'm hearing all you do, and I'm looking at three people, and I understand there's one other person. And in the success you've had, and the path of success you're on, it's a function of capability and commitment. Right? So you're all capable, you're all committed, but for what you're doing, it's passion. You have to be so passionate about what you're doing to accomplish what you have. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, I think it's the age-old dilemma of time and resource. Mm-hmm. We're limited on both, right? We have only so much time and resource in staffing, but then there's also financial limitations, right? That we live within our means, and much like we're talking about paths and programs, there are 10 other things we would love to do, but that's not going to happen today because we're focused on making these other things happen. We are fortunate that there's a nice blend where we work with folks like when we do our night at the museum, for example, and we bring in living historians. Mm-hmm. That's a way to add dimension. That's not something I can do. I don't have that skill set. But Ted Hurt, who's with the Licensed Town Guides, he's one of the living historians. Mm-hmm. He comes in, and they do a fantastic job. And they're engaging, and it's another dimension that gives us more arms and legs to kind of expand the bandwidth of the museum and our overall goals. Or when Julie comes in and does yoga, she's our resident guru, I guess. I don't know what the right term is. But again, that's not something that we can do, but she's got the skill set.
And you're offering all these activities, events. If you weren't doing it, who would do it?
Great question. Don't know.
I'm guessing you're unique is kind of where the question's going. Mm-hmm. Yes.
No, I was going to say it's something that I don't think that any other organization has thought of. Looking at, we talk about our history, and Gettysburg is rich in history, and there's a lot of focus on that, and that's what we do, you know, with the heritage side. But I don't know of any other organization. At the same time, while you're doing that, you're thinking about the future of Gettysburg, and how are you educating, how are you rehabilitating, how are you preserving that so that our kids and grandkids and great-grandkids have the ability. So we've kind of, you know, we kind of have two streams that we're on, but they intertwine together. And it's a lot for three.
Yeah, it is. In a perfect world, there'd be more, but we live in an imperfect world. And
you're only working 25 hours a day. You must be, I mean, for accomplishing what you have.
This is where schizophrenia is a beneficial thing, me, myself, and I. It's there's not a lot of downtime, needless to say, and we have some big plans for this year that we're excited about. We hesitate to talk about too many things until they reach a certain point of influx, right, or mm-hmm. where we can say, yes, this is definitely going to happen. We're excited with some of the new things that we've really either rekindled, something like appreciation, reenactor appreciation. So much goes on in our community, by the reenactor community, that they're unsung heroes. They're unpaid. They foot their own bills. They support themselves financially. They pay for their own equipment and so on. And we're honored to be able to kind of bring that back. It was something that was active pre-COVID, died off during COVID, and it's something that we've been bringing back now for these last, I guess, 2-3 years or so. That's a passion, mm-hmm. yes. The stream cleans, I think we all have fun, and as they continue to grow and seeing more kids and school groups come out. But there are so many other things that aren't being done in the community that we are excited to do. So time will tell. We'll see how things, ask us in 6 months, we'll see how we're doing.
Okay. I'd love to. And given the gamut of what you're doing, all these things, is there a thing or a couple things you could put your finger on, say, we're most proud of accomplishing this in the community?
I know we keep going back to the stream clean, but honestly, that is something that I am so incredibly proud of, just because I have seen it grow over the course of the couple years. Reenactor recruitment, again, as Carrie said, it is something that has been so important in Gettysburg that as it started to gradually fade, we started doing this program, and it is really kind of booming. Like every year, the response we get from these groups that want to come in and try to revitalize it, it's very important. It's very important. We held a workshop on Saturday, just last Saturday, with a group of women who came in, and it was exceptional. The information they shared was very well done, very important. This is how you do it. This is where you start. They gave like extensive resources. You know, it's not something that's easy to get involved in. Mm-hmm. And so it was a great starting point for a very large group of women.
I think I would add the passion. I'm the new kid on the block. So I just joined the board less than a year ago. And these guys have been toiling at it a lot longer. I'm proud of them and the passion they bring. It's interesting because the museum has been around, dare I say, don't quote me on this, if it's not the oldest, it is one of the oldest operating entities. It's changed venue over time, but it's been there for...
1962.
Yeah. And so it's not as iconic as Saks Bridge, but it's pretty iconic that we kind of become the go-to for a lot of when somebody has a question about something, Steph's getting a phone call or Kristen's getting a phone call. That's great because we love the interaction. It's also challenging because there's not a lot of resource and there's a lot to get done on any given day. We've actually transitioned to a nonprofit structure. So previously, before it was the Heritage Center, it was the Wax Museum, it was a for-profit entity. We've transitioned now over these last few years. That's not an easy task.
Okay. Can you imagine? Mm-hmm. Oh. So all these accomplishments, and I gather you've gotten some recognition, well-deserved, over the years. What are some of the areas or organizations that have hinted said, hey, you're doing a great job, keep it up?
You know, what gets measured gets done, I suppose, is a way to look at it. And at the end of the day, like anybody else, we have bills that need to get paid. So we're honored when somebody is willing to step up and reward us with their hard-earned funds. We were very fortunate to receive a family from the Bauman family a grant recently. They saw what we were doing, and those funds are going to help us a lot in the maintenance out at the Learning Barn.
Okay.
Again, people don't necessarily put it together. Oh, it's nature. It grows. Yeah, we spend thousands of dollars a year, tens of thousands of dollars a year, in taking care of those properties, taking care of the trees and the grasses and all of that. So when a family like that steps up and makes a contribution, that's huge. Being included in the Adams County Giving Spree this year. It's a first for us. To us, that was a nice recognition that we must be doing something right, and we appreciate all the support that we got from the Giving Spree this year and learned a lot, like I say, very appreciative.
Another area is actually the Pheasants Forever that we're with. We were selected. They went around and looked at different locations, just looking at what type of invasive species we had, you know, how doable was it? Was it able to, for them to easily cultivate and turn it over to native grasslands? So we were pretty excited to be selected by them as one of their locations. So we have 12 acres that we're working with them that's now in grasslands.
Okay.
So, yes.
And are they bringing in stocking pheasants? Is that
no?
That was one thing. I hear pheasants forever. I
mean, yeah, you would think with the name of it, they would be. But they explained to us pheasants are a very hard bird to reintroduce back into nature because when you raise them, they fall in love with you and they'll follow you around and they just don't understand predators and things like that. So what Pheasants Forever does is hopes that someday maybe the pheasants or you know the native birds will come back, but they're more into getting rid of the invasive species, planting grasslands that are natural to Pennsylvania and our area.
Wonderful endeavor. Yes,
yeah.
I'm fully an advocate of native species, so that's great. Yes. Yeah. So you have all this going on, you can only do so much with resources of time and money. But have you, and I'm sure you've done this, like look, five years down the road, what is Gettysburg Nature Alliance 5 years down the road?
I think it is, it's a blend of evolution, of doing some of the things we're doing now, and we're learning. Every event we do, case in point, I'll go back to this past weekend, that's the first time we did a specific women's reenactment event. Sounded like a great idea. Turns out I think it was. So that may be programming that we can expand upon. But for every one of those, there's probably another program that's maybe run its course, and it's time to retire it and use those resources to do something else. In the grand vision, we see the Saxbridge area and the trail program. That's kind of one of those big things up here for us that we really would like to see come to fruition. We're also pragmatic enough to know that that's not an overnight thing. That's going to take several years. It's going to take coordination. It's going to take funding. It's going to take resources. But everything so far looks like it's very doable, too. So that would be a nice legacy, if you will, to look back 5 years to say, yes, that we improved the environment, and we improved the historic environment as well.
Okay. All right. I think we've kind of gone through this, but I want to hear from each of you again. The one thing you want the audience to remember about your organization.
I think for me, the one thing that I want them to remember is that we're a very, very viable part of the community. We're there to help educate and preserve and continue our mission going forward, that we need to make sure that we're preserving our habitat, that our heritage can continue on.
I just have to build up that. We are a community-based, volunteer, welcoming to volunteers organization. We cannot do this by ourselves. If you are interested in helping us out, please reach out. Do not be shy about reaching out to us. As Carrie mentioned, you can find us on social media, or you can just call the Heritage Center. We'd be very happy to have you join us.
And I would go back to, we can't do this alone. We are very committed to what we're trying to accomplish, but we need support. And that support can take on many shapes and forms. Follow us on social media. That's important for us because that's where we really communicate. Come to some of our events. Most of our events are free or discounted. Become a member. Our memberships are only $35. And for $35, you get access to the museum, you get discounts to the gift shop, you get discounts to other vendors around the community, you get discounted programming, you get access to the yoga at the barn. And it's very nominal. There's a lot of value in that membership, but that membership goes a long, long way for us in doing the programming and the things that we need. But to boil it all down, participate, okay. Get engaged, and frankly, if it's not getting engaged with us, get engaged with somebody in the community.
Okay. I'm guessing your website address is fairly straightforward, but just for the audience.
It's GettysburgNature.org.
GettysburgNature.org. Okay.
Yep.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. I hope you have found this very enlightening. I certainly have. This has been great. I was excited coming into this interview, and then you haven't disappointed.
Thank you.
Stephanie, Kristen, Carrie, thank you very much.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
And thank you for joining us again. We hope you have a wonderful day, and maybe give some thoughts to reaching out to the Gettysburg Nature Alliance. Thank you very much. This is Frank Kozak. Have a good day.